السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, a young person related his dream in which he says that I am telling him from the minbar, I am saying three times this ayat, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Of course, there was an explanation with regards to his case, but I think it is relevant for each and every one of us. I have discussed this many times, but when it comes at an appropriate time in the mind, then it is only right that we should discuss it again. That is what the Quran Sharif is for: repeated discussion of the ayat and the verses. We know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats and favors upon us are unlimited. Everyone knows that. Even the atheist, no matter how much he denies the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he cannot deny that he is enjoying the favors and blessings of someone that he himself is rejecting. Any person can ask him, you got up in the morning, who gave you life? You got sight, you got hearing, you got speech, your heart, liver and lungs and all were functioning. Everything was just automatic. Can it be just happening automatically? So deep down in their hearts, they also know that there is some creator, just as they believe that for everything that they see, there is some maker. No car just falls from the skies, and no tree just grows on its own. Everything is with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Somebody makes it, manufactures it, but he is the one that gives the ability. So even an atheist, he does acknowledge, but he does not want to admit it, because then he will be bound by regulations. The moment the person believes in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, believes in Islam, then something that becomes difficult is to practice. And that is why they rather don't accept it and say that we don't believe. Then that believe, and after that say that now you are tied to so many different rules and regulations. Unfortunately, that is also in the case of Muslims of today like us, that we do not want to have any kind of restrictions, limitations, no kind of laws governing our life. We want to be free to make our own decisions. With regards to everything, we say is democracy. Yet we accept so many regulations when it comes to the government of our time. So many. I was just reading through just the legislation with regards to certain business issues. There was a reason I had to study that. It was not that I was intending to open a business, just now you may get me wrong. And there's nothing wrong even if I opened a business. But the number of regulations, it was dealing with some case, but in any case, the number of things that were regulating that business, so many different kinds of applications the person has to make and what not. But we accept all that. When it comes to our travel, we accept that it's 120, so it's 120. We can't use our aqal and intelligence and say that, but I saw that the road was open. There was not even one car on that internet, on that national highway. Even if I traveled at 200 kilometers an hour, I would have never caused an accident. Does anybody say that? That I saw the road was very clear, so therefore even if I traveled at 200, I would have never made an accident. So how can you arrest me if I was doing 160 or 80? Why don't we use our aqal and intelligence there? And why doesn't that speed cop also accept our argument that this is a very intelligent person? Definitely the road was open. There was no car on the road at that time. In a national highway, 3-lane, 4-lane, 5-lane highway. So even if he was traveling at 200, he wouldn't have caused an accident. He's got a very high class Mercedes Benz. But we don't accept that. He will say, that is the law, it's 120, so you must drive 120. Otherwise you will have to face this, the consequences. Now like that in our life, we can see that we are accepting so many different laws and legislation governing our lives. But when it comes to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, who is our sustainer, in whose hands our lives lie, we don't even know what's going to happen the very next second in our lives. When it comes to His laws, which are for nothing but our benefit, the governments of the world, it is for their benefit. The more people they catch driving at high speed, it fills up their coffers. Therefore, some places they sit where there is no need for anybody to sit. They should rather sit in those dangerous areas where accidents are prone to happen, but they will sit in open roads because it fills up their coffers. Everybody has got a matlab and a gharaz. Every person in this world has got some kind of matlab, some kind of objective. The person has got some kind of hope, some kind of material gain he wants from it. It is only Allah Ta'ala whose laws are there for our benefit and for nothing else. He doesn't benefit in any way. Whatever He has made halal, it is good for us and for mankind. And whatever He has made haram, then it is bad for us, for the individual, as I always say, or for the family, or the society, or the nation as a whole. Now that is where we will find all the kinds of objections. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's laws, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen is extremely easy and beautiful. But if we want to make it difficult, then we must blame ourselves. If we look at all the laws of Allah ta'ala, it's easy, it's nothing difficult. But if we want our nafs to dominate, our egos and our passions, then for ego and passion there is no end and no limit. A person will never be satisfied with his halal wife. Even if he has four wives, he won't be satisfied. As far as passions are concerned, then the person will still go to haram. The same when it comes to his business, he will be able to sell everything. There are millions of things that he can sell, but he will still go for the haram. As far as eating and drinking is concerned, there are billions of things the person can eat which are halal, but he will still go for the haram. So for passions, there is no end and no limit. So this Quranic verse, the person says, I dreamt three times, I was saying it from the mimbar. So what is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala getting across to us? Fazkuruni azkurkum, washkuruli wala takfurun. Remember me, I will remember you. Fazkuruni azkurkum. And be grateful to me. Don't be ungrateful. That is the message. That we must be grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I've given this example before too, that if a person has to give someone, say his wife, he gives her a mink shawl. Now this mink shawl is a very expensive shawl. Now he gives it to her as a gift. And what does she do with it? She takes it and polishes her shoes. Or scrubs the floor with it. Will her husband ever buy her another mink shawl? If she takes it and starts scrubbing the floor or polishing shoes. The purpose of that shawl was to put it on her shoulder to look beautiful for the husband. So like that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats, bounties, can we compare mink shawl with the sight, mink shawl with our hearing, mink shawl with our speech? If you tell somebody, I will give you a mink shawl, you give me your sight. Or I will give you 100 mink shawls or 1,000 mink shawls, you give me your brains and act like a madman for the rest of your life. Will anybody do that? So why is it that we are not pondering and reflecting over these ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He has blessed us with? Therefore the Hadith Sharif which we were discussing last week, it seems like there's some connection with that also. Because in that Hadith Sharif where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb specifically ordered me with regards to 9 things. We had discussed the 3 and I said, inshallah, we'll discuss the balance. But today the mind went on to this ayat. But one of the things mentioned in that 9 is that my silence must be meditation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah says that my silence must be my meditation. And my speech must be remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That means when I'm silent, then I'm meditating, I'm thinking, I'm pondering, I'm reflecting. Who created this world, this universe? Why was I sent to this world? What is my objective of life? What is my purpose in this world? What are the ni'mats and bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon me? And where am I heading for? Do I have any kind of an idea where I'm going to die? When I'm going to die? Where am I going to die? Does anybody have any idea? Have we not heard of deaths at the stadium? Have we not heard of deaths at discos and cinemas and theaters? Have we not heard of deaths in other haram places? Wasn't a body picked up just in our city here from the prostitute quarters on Eid day? And so many others which we do not even know of. So therefore, the person must ponder, he must meditate, he must think that how much of bounties of Allah Ta'ala and what is he really asking me to do? How much do I have to do in return? Make my salat 5 times a day. Give zakat if due, fast in Ramadan, go for hajj if first, fulfill the rights of the parents, of the elders, respect them, young ones, have mercy for them. Black or white, whoever it is, poor, needy, assist them, help them. Simple little things to do. Nothing major, nothing difficult. And then get great, great rewards from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, fazkuruni azkurkum. One of his is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that you remember me with tawbah and I will remember you with maghfirat. You make istighfar and tawbah, I will remember you with maghfirat. Fazkuruni with tawbah. Askurkum bil maghfirah. You remember me with tawbah, that you are a human being and you are bound to make mistakes, you are bound to err. None of us can claim to be very pious and righteous and pure and perfect. Everyone has got some kind of sin or weakness or shortcoming. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that you remember me with tawbah, I will remember you with maghfirah. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, his people, the azab was about to come. But when they engaged in tawbah and istighfar, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removed the azab. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, deep down in the ocean, because of that slight error of judgment, he went into the stomach of the whale. And now deep down in the ocean, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the waters of the ocean, and the darkness of the stomach of the whale. And in there, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam says, La ilaha illa anta subhanak. Inni kuntu min az-zalimin. And when he says that and calls out to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala responded to his call. Where was that call? Right in the bottom of the ocean, in the stomach's whale. In the stomach of the whale. And yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is responding, is listening. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we gave him salvation from that gham, from the distress that he was in. And not only that, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In other words, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving a message to us that until the day of Qiyamah, whosoever is in distress, whosoever is in pain and suffering and problem and difficulty and hardship, then all he has to do is turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that is how we will give them also najat and salvation from distress. Of course, sometimes the person is begging Allah Ta'ala for cure from some illness. He is not getting that, but he will be getting something else in return. That is an explanation that I gave many times, that what you get when you ask. So, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. That you remember me with tawbah, I will remember you with maghfirah. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he is saying that you remember me bil ita'ah, azkurkum bil inaya, fazkuruni bil ita'ah. That you remember me with obedience. You obey me, you follow me, yeah, follow my teachings, practice upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. And I will give you blessings, bounties. Why does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala need to punish? Why does Allah ta'ala have to punish? Does he enjoy any kind of happiness in punishing unnecessarily? Even in his punishment and in his azab also, there's nothing but rahmat. Allah Ta'ala is so loving, so merciful, so kind, that even in that punishment and azab that sometimes is sent down, there is a mercy and kindness in there. That Allah Ta'ala wants that the person must get up from his slumber and sleep and from his negligence, so that he may enjoy those bounties that Allah Ta'ala has. Allah Ta'ala wants to give, but that is the condition. Therefore, the Sabit Bunani Rahmatullah Alayhi says, I know exactly when my Allah is remembering me. So when is Allah Ta'ala remembering you? How do you know? He said, when I'm remembering Allah Ta'ala, He's remembering me. Now, remembrance of Allah Ta'ala at all times and all occasions does not mean reading tasbih all the time. It means that there's some hukam of Allah Ta'ala, there's some law of Allah Ta'ala, that is focused on the every individual at different times. Every minute there is some law. Like now, the hukam is that just now you will have to make salat of Jumu'ah. The hukam was that as soon as the azan is called out, hasten towards the masjid, hasten towards Jumu'ah salat. Iza nudiya ila salat, iza nudiya ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, iza nudiya ila salat min yawmil Jumu'ah, fas'aw ila zikrillahi wazharul bayt. So then we have to run towards the Jumu'ah. In the same way, when the person is eating, then he must eat halal. When he's opening his business or conducting his business, that at that time he must make sure that he's doing it in the way that Quran and Sunnah has ordered. Now that is what remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is. So you remember me with a ta'at, I will remember you with all my favors and blessings. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, you remember me with submission, with complete submission, and I will remember you with izzat and with respect. Therefore, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala said, Nahnu qawmun a'azzana Allahu bil Islam. That we are a people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave respect through Islam. Complete submission to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's will and order and command does not make a person's life miserable. It makes it a happy one, a pleasant one. A one in which there is true enjoyment and true happiness. Unfortunately, we are hastening or we are rushing towards that, which we are seeing the non-Muslims enjoying themselves in, and we are taking that to be our happiness. Whereas that is not happiness for a Muslim, unless his heart is dead. If the heart is dead, then of course it's a different issue. And many people are making such kind of statements, therefore we say if the person wants to go and watch the football or follow the football World Cup, then he must do so at his peril, that is a different thing. But at least control the tongue from statements which are leading to nothing but kufr. When a person says that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, arguing with his other friends or family members, that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was present, he too would have been at the stadium. Now is that some kind of statement that can be overlooked? And then we say these people are orthodox and conservative. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was present, he would have been there, showing his patriotism, na'uzu billahi min zalik. And such other statements are being made at present, and this is that time that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about, yusbihu mu'minan wa yumsi kafir. The person will be Muslim in the morning, he'll be kafir at the end of the day. Or he'll be Muslim in the evening and kafir by the morning. That means they won't be concerned about the kind of statements that are making. If the person doesn't want to listen, or he doesn't want to follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, or he is convinced that there's nothing wrong with it, then good luck to him. But at least don't make such kind of statements. Somebody says that the ulama should tell the World Cup organizers that instead of bottles of champagne, they must have bottles of zamzam water to sprinkle on the people. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So we have to be very much on guard and be very careful. What does it cost if we have to control our tongues? The person is engaging in some sin, but he knows it is a sin and he considers it a sin and he's making istighfar and tawbah over that sin. Then we'll say that there is hope of maghfirat and forgiveness for that person. But if the person starts bragging about that sin, so therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. You'll be surprised what our young students and children and even our parents and family members and others are saying. They make a mockery and a fool of those people who do not want to, for Islamic reasons, go to such places. So then at least keep quiet. Don't make such kind of comments. How to make a comment like that? Is a person still a Muslim? And then that is the jurist's ruling, that if the person makes a statement of kufr, then his nikah ends. The nikah ends. Now, even though that person reads another 1,000 times, La ilaha illallah, he'll become a Muslim. But as far as his marriage is concerned, it has ended. Ask any mufti, ask any jurist. The marriage has ended. Now do they re-perform the marriage after that? The nikah has to be re-performed. A new meher has to be given. And if that is not done, then all his life now he is living in sin. And the children that are going to be born will be illegitimate. Now that same child after that, which is illegitimate, will inherit from that father's estate because we will consider the child to be legitimate. And then when it comes to this person himself, if he hasn't made sincere tawbah, or whoever has made such kind of statements, if he hasn't read the shahada again, so then we will perform his nikah, or the person will be treated as a Muslim. He'll make namaz also, he'll fast also, he'll give zakat also. Look at the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the signs of qiyamah. So it doesn't give us any enjoyment to sit here and talk the same things over and over. What enjoyment does it give? We talk about there are lots of issues. Definitely there's lots of issues to discuss. But are these not issues that are very, very important in a Muslim's life? Why else have we come for Jummah Salat? Because we consider ourselves Muslims. And we believing in Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam hukam, therefore we came for Jummah Salat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to bless us. He is very merciful. There's no doubt He is extremely merciful and kind and forgiving. If it had not been for that, we don't know when we should have been destroyed because of our actions and our deeds. 70 to 80% of the ummah doesn't make for us salat with jamaat. But Allah Ta'ala's kindness and ihsan, and look at His tolerance, that how much He tolerates. So should we not be returning to Allah Ta'ala? Therefore, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I will remember you. And be grateful to me. Do not be ungrateful. It is not appropriate and right of a Muslim who is blessed with so much of bounties from Allah Ta'ala to be ungrateful, to use those bounties in places where that Allah Ta'ala is displeased. And look at the lives of people. We all know what they are going through. Which home we can say now there's great amount of happiness and joy. The family is united. Brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, all there's such unity. We're talking about football uniting the people. We can't unite few people in the houses. Look at the fights and quarrels and look at the number of cases that are at the courts of law. And look at the arguments and the dispute and the friction and fractions and everything else in our society. There's so much of things that are happening. What are these the result of? Don't we ponder, that is again the same thing, that my silence must be my meditation. That I must think that if everybody seems to be turning away in my family, and there's such a lot of fights and quarrels and arguments and brothers not talking to sisters and parents not talking to children and children not talking to parents, and families are disunited and everybody at each other's throats and necks, so what is the cause of that? What is the reason? Don't we have to ponder and reflect and see in the Quran and Sunnah that where are we going wrong? So, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Now there are so many other things but the time has expired. So if we are going to be obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we are going to be the beneficiaries, nobody else. And believe me that there are a large number, whether we like it or not, large number of people who came out from their sins, from the evils, from the discourse, from the cinemas, from the theatres, from the dancing halls and from the drug habits. There are a large number. Ask me, okay, I've got files like that filled for evidence if you want. Large number of them. Ask them now, what is the difference? They also were addicts of drugs, they were addicts of this and addicts of that. And now so many of those young people are having beautiful dreams of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're dreaming of tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. They dream and they're enjoying such peace and happiness and contentment in their lives. Many of them, I'm talking about around the world. Many of them haven't even seen or haven't attended. They just listen to tapes on radio stations. So there is something that we, it is the truth. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give peace of mind, He'll give happiness, He'll give contentment, He'll give satisfaction in our hearts. Greed, lust and evil passions and desires will come under control. We don't say they will disappear altogether, but they'll come under control. And the whole purpose of earning, that the person wants to enjoy that wealth that he is earning, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give it to him. Because if there is going to be happiness in the home, happiness in the family, then he will even enjoy that wealth. Otherwise in that wealth also there will be nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give you and the ummah at large the tawfiq of amal. Of course there's so much that we can be said on this first Quruni Azkurkum if Allah ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity will continue. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.